Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even jump back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Hey, Derek. So glad that you have joined us today for some Plus Platoon action. Thanks for tuning in.
Close. Next, we got Pete. Pete, how are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling very brave.
Brave, yeah. And I don't know about me, I'm not feeling so little. So anyway.
I'm not little.
Nah, yeah. And then we got Steve. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm here.
That's fair. Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up, and we've got some shows with some premieres coming in. So, this week, however, we watched a movie that is one of the few that had not been on Disney Plus yet. We watched The Brave Little Toaster. If you have seen Toy Story 3, you've seen part of this movie. Because it focuses around appliances in basically a vacation cabin that they remember when there was a little kid who they hadn't, family has not been back there for somewhere between 5 and 6 years, 2,000 days, over 2,000 days, I think they said. And it's a toaster, an electric blanket, a radio, a lamp, and a vacuum cleaner, which can anyone, does anyone else love the fact that the vacuum cleaner was named Kirby?
I didn't get it. My wife had to explain it.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
Kirby was a brand of, is still a brand of big vacuums that look like that. So anyway,
I didn't know that.
And essentially they figure out that the house is going to be for sale. And so they go try and find their master. And it's all about the going across, basically trying to get to the city, and then it's finding their master, which you have a little bit of Al trying, you know, Al's combination of Al's apartment and Sid's room a little bit in the background. Which, so, go ahead.
Whoever made the Brave Little Toaster should 100% sue Toy Story, the entire Toy Story series, because there's beats from the first three movies in this movie.
Yeah. But
it's John Lasseter.
He didn't make this though. He got fired.
No, but he had a chunk of the story down, and then Joe Ranft did the rest. Well, so
he got fired. Joe, what did he get fired for?
Basically lack of good ideas. Like literally right after he pitched this to Ron Miller, he got fired.
It's the best story. You gotta go look it up. He pitched this movie to his bosses at Disney, and like an hour later, they fired him.
Yes.
It was not like
crazy.
And later he fired him. No, right after this, they're like, that's such a bad idea. Get out.
And part of it was he wanted to have it be computer generated. And when he said, no, we're not going to end up saving any money, then, you know, okay, so why are we doing computers?
If it's not going to be cheaper or faster, why do computers?
Right, yeah. So to make a long story short, they end up getting tossed into a junkyard, and the master, the boy who's now grown up and is going off to college, gets in and finds them in the junkyard, and the toaster ends up sacrificing herself to stop the gears from crushing the master. And everything, you know, they all live happily ever after. They all go off to college with him. They don't stay behind at Bonnie's. But, so, and I want to take a minute, point out some of the voice casting in this. You've got Thurl Ravenscroft as Kirby. You've got Phil Hartman, both as the Jack Nicholson air conditioner and as the Peter Lorre lamp. That was also
He did the Peter Lorre.
That was also Phil Hartman. And John Lovitz as the radio, I think possibly has some of the best lines of the entire movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Especially when you realize they literally did his entire set of lines in one night. Because he got Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, because he got hired by Saturday Night Live. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, okay. So, what about this was truly brave? What really worked for this story? Pete, I'll start with you. Because, yes, I'm starting with you.
Well, there's certainly some good ideas in it because, you know, again, watching this movie, I'm the only one of this group that had never seen this movie. I'd heard of this movie, but I'd never seen this movie. And all I could think of the entire movie was a lot of these story beats are reused in Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. There's story beats from all three of them. And I guess Derek kind of stole it because to me, the other really good thing was a lot of good voice acting in this movie. I thought everybody did a really good job. You mentioned Timothy Stack, who some people might remember him from the TV series Son of the Beach.
Okay.
But he's a comedic actor. He's been around for quite a bit. So he was the Lamp. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it was I thought the voice cast was really good. They had some funny lines.
So
yep. Steve, what about you?
I'm gonna go, it's a quirky movie, which is it's very quirky. I think that's one of the reasons I sort of like, it's a quirky in a really weird way. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but it has some definitely shifts in it. Like, it was not what I remembered going in. I also like, the songs are not memorable, but they were catchy. When the songs are on, I found them to be catchy. Like, they caught my attention, they kept my attention. So I'd say those would be the two biggest things for me. And then what also Pete said, so.
Yeah, I would agree for the most part with the songs. There's a couple of them that are a little clunky, but I especially like the one with the song's called It's a Bee Movie, where it's basically the horror show within the back room of the appliance shop.
Yeah.
I actually remember this. So this film actually premiered in 1989 on the Disney Channel. And was not really released in the United States. Disney had TV and video rights to it. They did not actually have the distribution rights, but they put it out on Disney Channel right before another company was going to get ready to distribute it to select theaters to kind of scoop them and not let them make any money off of it. But I remember watching this on Disney Channel. Matter of fact, my folks actually had a VHS that they had. Remember when you could actually tape stuff off of TV?
Not worry about the
DVR getting full.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
And yes, it was on VHS and not Betamax. There was some genuine points where I thought it was pretty darn funny. Now, are there slow sections? Yes, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But there were different sections, especially with the radio.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say Blanky got a little annoying. just the voice got a little annoying.
But you get it. He's a blanket, but he's insecure. He's an insecurity blanket.
Blanket. Yeah, I got it.
There will be no Blanky disrespect on this call.
Well, in that case, go ahead, Kate.
This movie's genius. This movie's class act. I really enjoyed it, which is funny because I think that this movie would have scared the crap out of me as a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie had terrifying moments. But I will die on the hill. And I said this while I was watching this to my husband. I said, I will die on the hill that the brave little toaster walked so that Toy Story could run. And you cannot convince me.
No doubt.
No one
creators of Toy Story were not influenced by this movie. Because, as Derek said earlier, you have all three of the Toy Stories in this movie. You've got the original with, like, oh, the kid and getting forgotten. You have the Sid type character who has the misfit toys, who also doubles as Al's toy barn. And you've got the crane, the crushy thing. You've got going away to call it. Like, you will not convince me. I will die on the hill that Jill this movie Ramft, walked.
Jill Ramft was writer on, got story credit on both of them.
Makes complete sense, because this movie walked so that Toy Story could run.
But what I want to know is how three Toy Story plots fit into this one movie, yet it was so boring. Okay.
Oh, we're not to that part yet. Let me say how great of a movie this was. I did not find this movie boring. In fact, I was riveted the whole time. And not only that, but I kept being like, I really need something positive to happen, because these poor inanimate objects have me real stressed out. When they were in the swamp, I was real stressed out. So, but it had me riveted. I watched this movie. I had to keep pausing because my husband was installing ceiling fans in our guest rooms. And so I had to pause to help him, which is how I knew how much time was left as I was watching it. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought all of the characters brought something, just like how all of the side characters in Toy Story bring something. They each brought such a creative plot to the story. I liked it. So, all right, now you all can tear it apart.
Well, I wouldn't say tear it apart, but Steve, what should have been crushed?
It shifts so it's like it's all happy, lovely, and then it moves into like horror. Like Kate said, it was such a shift. Like, this is like really creepy. Like, yep. You look at the faces, like that lamp with the weird face is like straight from a horror movie. Like, when they're in the barn, whatever, the main one, I think it just goes from dark to light really, like, just abruptly sometimes, like a total shift.
That's fair. I will say that between most of the trip, between when they leave and when they get to basically get taken in by the pulled out of the swamp, most of that stretch was incredibly boring to me. There are moments of this that I really enjoyed watching. That was the stretch, though, and it's about a half hour, 40-minute stretch of, okay, we get it. They're journeying. They needed a cutaway to somebody else, or they needed something else to be going on to distract you from, yes, we get it. They're going through tough places to travel. And then the stuff that was actually interesting, like them crossing the river and them falling in and then getting out, took like 2 minutes. So it's just, there was some of that there. That was my biggest criticism, is that stretch right in there was really boring to me. Okay. Kate, what didn't work for you?
As a kids movie, this had some really dark moments. This had some really like scary stuff, which is funny because I feel like I remember watching this on Disney Channel, and I don't remember it scaring me, but it had to, because this movie had some scary, scary moments. But I don't think it didn't need the songs. The songs didn't really add anything to it for me. They were funny, and like some of them were fine, but the songs didn't make or break it for me.
The only song that really, really worked for me was Tutti Frutti as they were cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's
mostly it for you.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't have a lot negative to say. I really enjoyed this movie.
What else, Pete?
All right. I got a lot negative to say. I realized it was done by a lot of Disney people and a lot of like up and comers, students from CalArts. You actually saw an A113 on here.
Yes, you did.
That you pick the, in all the Pixar movies and often in Disney movies now. I thought the animation was bad. And I know part of that is not their fault. The budget was cut.
Because most of the animation was done overseas.
Well, whatever whatever the reason.
Most animation was done in Taiwan.
It was subpar animation for a movie in the 80s where, I mean, we weren't getting the revolution animation of the 90s, but, you know, you had the Don Bluth studio was doing really nice stuff with American Tail and things like that. And this thing just looked bad. I thought it was boring right from the jump until the swamp. I didn't think the stuff in the house really interested me. And I didn't like they eventually became somewhat likable, but for the first half of this movie, none of the characters were not likable to me. They seemed to actively all hate each other. For the first half of the movie, they were doing was like insulting each other and putting each other down and everything like that. And I was not enjoying that at all. That like it was just like being cruel to each other. So, the first half of this, the second half of this movie is pretty watchable. But gosh, the first half of it, I had a hard time with. Last thing I want to say, you know, people pick on one of my favorite movies of Raiders of the Lost Ark. They say Indiana Jones wasn't needed for the story. The story was not needed. Yeah, if they had just stayed in the cabin for another like 3 days, the story wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, fair enough.
They could have just stayed in the cabin. He came, picked them up. They would have been happy. But, you know, so they created their own trauma.
But also think like Homeward Bound, Incredible Journey with like the two dogs and the cat. If they had just stayed put,
Shadow didn't make it. But then he did.
Hey, spoilers! Come on.
So good. It's such a good movie.
Sassy. Let's watch that instead of this.
Okay. So they part of this at the end was, you know, they had all this new technology in the house, but the boy wanted the older stuff. For whatever reason. And my question to you is there some kind of an appliance, and I'm going to say something that plugs in, that you would rather have the vintage version of? And I'm going to start this
one. Not that Kate.
Okay, Kate, yeah, you're dying over there. Go for it. What is it? Apparently it's a microphone.
Okay, so you know how in the Carousel of Progress, the daughter stands on the machine that goes that's what I want. And she just shakes and it shakes as she's getting ready for the prom. That's what I want. I want the original of that. Thank you so much.
So you have the new one?
No. I think they're kind of baloney. I think they're just voodoo magic, which don't come for me, all of you listening, if you are a health person and you're like, no, they actually really help. That's incredible. Just when Derek, when you said the original of something that plugs in, I was like, that's what I want. I want whatever she had that she was like, I gotta lose 2 more inches before the dance tonight, or whatever she says. That's what I want. Ooh, but to follow that up, I also want like an original crock pot. Like the crock pots from like the 1980s, that stuff just hit different than it does now.
Pete, go ahead. I got to fact check that just a bit.
Go for it.
I don't know. I was thinking, and a lot of young people have them today, record player. I shouldn't say. I do have a record player. It's not plugged in. But like, there's something kind of charming about throwing a record on and put that needle on there and everything like that and listening to music that way, even though I don't do it. And the other thing, a shout out to my dryer, which is in and of itself a vintage dryer from probably 35 years ago.
It's awesome.
Steve?
I'm going with what Gina has said in the background for us, is I love my KitchenAid stand mixer. It's like 30 years old, and it still does the job. So I have to go with that. So
and for the record, Crock-Pots came out in 1971.
That's fine. Give me that.
For me, I'm gonna kind of piggyback off of Pete. I have a record player. It's actually like 7-8 feet away from me, sitting right over there. I also have a super old tube radio that it's just the sound is a whole lot richer. I also have a non-tube radio sitting right there. But this is it's a beast, probably weighs 60 pounds, which I, on a side note, I don't miss tube TVs. But so remember the TVs that would weigh like 150 pounds?
Yep.
Yeah.
But the other thing I will say is I have a soft spot in my heart for vintage video game systems.
That's like, cool. That's a good one.
Like an Atari 2600 and like the old vintage video game systems. I have a couple of them hooked up to my TV down in the basement. I still play them. So I would say that. Now, do I have one of the new ones? Yes. But especially with the stereos, if I want to come down and listen to music, I'm listening to it on my old radio. Like, I think it was made in probably the late 50s, early 60s. So, okay. Any other thoughts on Brave Little Toaster? Okay. I mean, it's a movie that it was not exactly what I had remembered. I will be perfectly honest. Especially, I guess I had kind of blocked out the slow parts, to be perfectly honest. I remembered them. I basically remembered the cleaning scene, and I remembered from the appliance shop on. So.
Yeah, my last comment would be, even though I didn't like it, I get nostalgia for it because it does have a weird charm to it. Even though I don't think I don't think it's very good, but you know, there's some charming parts to it. So I can see why there's nostalgia. I mean, almost any animated movie, there's some generation that, you know, it's like with the Goofy movie. Like I didn't watch the Goofy movie growing up. So I watch it now and I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good. But there's people that absolutely love it because they grew up with it, you know? So I can see why people would have that. But as a independent observer, I don't think this movie is very good.
Okay, that's fair. So as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 whenever we've watched a movie or a season of a series or something. So Kate, Brave Little Toaster, cups of pixie dust out of 5.
I'm debating between a 3.5 or a 4. I'm going to go 3.5.
Okay. 8.
Don't hate me, Kate. 1.5.
That's fair.
Wow. I'm going with 3. I enjoyed it.
I'm also going with a 3. I'm kind of between a 2.5 and a 3 on it, but there are sections of this that I will go back and probably actively seek out watching the second half of it at some point again. And I know
Derek, I'm with you. I'm right between that 2.5, 3.
Yeah. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Not very much. The only thing that we have for Disney Plus news is that Hoppers will be coming to Disney Plus on June 3rd. We will be having our review available June 18th. And that's it for Disney Plus.
Am I the only one that saw this in theaters of the group?
Yeah. I have not.
I have not.
I have not seen it yet.
Don't wait too long and don't get spoiled. There's a couple things in this movie that are much more fun if you don't know they're coming.
Okay.
I've not read anything about it, so.
And if I did, it was many, many moons ago. So. Okay. So next week, we're going to watch a movie that I can't believe we haven't actually watched yet. We're going to be watching the 1989 The Little Mermaid. This is the original animated one with Jodie Benson. And it's the movie that, again, started the Disney Renaissance. or is said to be the start of the Disney Renaissance. And part of the reason we're doing it is we hadn't watched it yet. Part of the reason is I'm heading to Disney World next week and we'll be writing The Little Mermaid. So, yeah, but that's what we're going to be doing next week. But coming up in June and especially in July, there is not much coming out. So please send us suggestions at plusplatoon@gmail.com. If you have stuff you want us to watch, send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We will answer any and all messages. We have new episodes coming out every week on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.